Welcome, everyone. Good to have you here. And as we've been going through the season of Lent, talking about Jesus' famous last words, I've been very excited to share with you Jesus' famous first words after walking out of that tomb alive. So let me start today off by asking you a question. How many of you are afraid of flying? Do we have any here willing to admit? We have a few. I'm going to tell you the story about two men, Mike and Tim, who boarded an all-night flight across the ocean to London. And Tim hated flying. And that's a grown-up man's way of saying Tim was scared of flying. But, you know, you're not going to say that. You're going to say, well, I hate flying. So after Tim, you know, checked out the plane to make sure that this was a good, you know, and trustable sort of plane, he boarded the plane, they boarded the plane, and everything was going well. And the takeoff went very smoothly, so far so good. And then not long after, you know, the plane was going, the captain's voice came on and said, we have now reached cruising altitude and all is well. But a little while later, another announcement came out that said, we're going to be hitting some turbulence soon, so buckle up. Tim started getting anxious at this point. Tim started getting anxious, and he started staring at the little screen in front of him, you know, on the back of the plane seat, the one that shows you where the plane flight is going, that tracks its progress. The screen that was now showing him that they were surrounded by nothing but ocean. Then the turbulence began, and Tim's anxiety increased. Because it kept going and it kept getting stronger, and his anxiousness just got worse and worse. And about this time, since it's an all-night flight, people started dimming down their lights. They start kind of getting ready for bed and, you know, get the pillow and the blanket out. But Tim couldn't even imagine relaxing like that and resting like that. Now, on the other hand, Mike, at this point, Mike breaks out his neck pillow, leans back, and falls right to sleep. But Tim is sitting there, straight up in his seat, sweating and staring at that screen in front of him. And pretty soon, like, everyone on the plane is falling asleep, and Tim's anxiousness is just getting worse and worse because the turbulence is persisting. So finally, you know how it is, misery loves company. So Tim wakes Mike up. So wake up, wake up. Something's wrong. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong? Don't you feel the turbulence? Yeah, it's turbulence. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Usually it stops by now. It's still going. It's not okay. It's just turbulence. Just go to sleep like everyone else. The pilots have this. The pilots do not have this. This is not okay. We got to do something. What do you mean we got to do something? We have to do something. Like what? Like, I don't know. We got to go up to the cockpit and talk to the pilots. Or maybe help them out or something. We do not have to do anything. The pilots got this. Go to sleep. And with that, Mike rolled back over and went to sleep. Tim spent the next 6 hours staring at that screen. Now, this shows two different responses to a shared reality. The reality that Mike and Tim shared in this situation was that neither of them were in control. And Mike's response to not being in control was trust. It was trust. The pilots have this. They know what they're doing. I trust them. And that gave him peace. It also gave him the freedom to roll back over and go to sleep. But Tim's response to this situation, Tim's response to not being in control was fear. The pilots do not have this. And that fear produced in him a need for control. While Mike was very happy and thankful that he was not in control, Mike was very happy and thankful that others were in control. So there are two responses to not being in control. The two responses to not being in control are trust, or fear? That's our first point for today. When we are not in control of things, there are two responses, and it's either going to be trust or fear. What are some things that make you feel like you are out of control? What are some things that make you feel that you are not in control? Being fired? Being unemployed? Having financial challenges, right? Your bills are bigger than your income. Your debts are bigger than your income. Other things make you feel like you're not in control. A bad habit that you can't break. An addiction that you can't kick. A problem you can't solve. How about an illness you can't treat, an untreatable illness? How about cancer? Is that something that makes us feel like we're not in control? How about the inevitability of death? Isn't death the ultimate thing that makes us know we are not in control? Isn't death the ultimate thing that we are not in control of? Isn't death the thing that people fear the most? In Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, the boy, Mowgli, asks the animals what the most feared thing in the jungle is. And the animals tell him that when two animals meet on a narrow path, one of them must step aside to let the other pass. And the one that steps aside for no one is the one that is most feared. So then Mowgli wants to know, what kind of animal is that? So one tells him, well, it's the elephant. Another tells him it's the lion. But finally, the wise old owl exclaims, the most feared thing in the jungle is death. It steps aside for no one. Well, friends, welcome to the jungle. Death, if there's one thing we are not in control of, no one is in control when it comes to death. No one, that is, except Jesus. Jesus willingly gave his life up on Good Friday. We just went through that on Friday night. And after he did, these are the words we read. They're not in your bulletin. They are on the screen. But these are what we read. After Jesus died, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Then, on Easter morning, here's what we read happens. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Okay, God is showing a little bit of godly swagger here, isn't he? Remember what happened on Friday night. Those chief priests of the people, they went and they begged Pontius Pilate, he's the Roman governor, they begged Pilate's guards to make that tomb as secure as you know how. I love God's sense of humor. Well, how secure is that tomb now, you chief priests? Because the one enthroned in heaven is laughing at you. The rulers of the people, the people thought that they could stop God by putting a stone in front of his tomb. The angel came and rolled back that stone, and what did he do? Sat on it. Isn't that the universal sign of victory? Right? When you conquer something, when you conquer someone, when you conquer something, you sit on it. You're not afraid of something you're sitting on anymore, are you? The angel rolled back that stone and sat on it. Death was conquered. The world is powerless to do anything to stop the message, the good news of the message of Easter. The world is powerless to do anything to stop that. The world is not in control of a God who has power over life and death. And the world, just like those guards, trembles in fear of what it is not in control of. Those who refuse to believe in Christ have much to fear. Those who resist God have much to fear. But those who trust God have nothing to fear. Those who love God have nothing to fear. Do you notice that the angel did nothing to alleviate the guards' fear? Because the guards were sent there to try to stop the world from hearing the good news, to stop what God was doing on earth. The angel did nothing to alleviate the guards' fear, but the angel did much to alleviate the women's fear. The angel rolled away that stone, not to let the Lord out, but to let the women in, to see the good news. The reason the angel rolled that stone away was to show those women and to show the world that the risen, living Lord Jesus had already left the tomb. So, what stones are making you afraid? What is covering up the good news about Jesus in your life? What is covering up the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead in your life? What is hiding the living Jesus from you? What is hiding the fact that Jesus is alive and living from you? Is it the things that make you feel like you're not in control? Do those sometimes look like that stone just seem bigger than anything, so I can't see what's behind it? Just clouding my vision. All those things that make us feel like we're not in control. Is it the things that make you respond in fear and worry? Do those keep you from seeing the fact that Jesus is alive? Here's just maybe the simple point of this whole message today. When you can see that Jesus is alive, when you can see that Jesus is risen, that he is alive, then you can respond to the things that you aren't in control of with trust instead of fear. Life just simply comes down to that. When you know, when you believe, when you trust, when you see that Jesus is alive, you can respond to anything, no matter how far you are not in control of it, with trust instead of fear. So friends, let God roll those stones away for you. Let God roll those stones away for you in your life so you can see that Jesus is alive, so you can see the good news of Easter. Let him roll those stones away. Listen to the captain's voice. Listen to the captain's voice and know that he's got this. Next few verses of our text, verses 5 to 7. Here's the angel's voice speaking for God. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." God offers us proof to give us a reason to not be afraid. All right? He shows us proof. Do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus was crucified, but now he's risen, just as he said. That was kind of the angel's nice way of just saying, I told you so. Do not be afraid. That's the message of Easter. Later on, much later on, one of Jesus' disciples, John, he's kind of trapped on an island, and he needed to be lifted up. Jesus comes and visits him, and Jesus speaks these words to him. These are his first words. John writes, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. Do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus was dead, but now he's alive forever and ever. That's why we don't need to be afraid. So friends, our second point, the empty tomb confronts our fears. The empty tomb confronts our fears. In California, there is a park, and at this park, there is a rock hanging from a rope. And this rock hanging from a rope has a weather station report sign next to it, and that sign says this: check the rock. If the rock is wet, it's raining. If the rock is swinging, it's windy. If the rock is dry, it's not raining. If you can't see the rock, it's foggy. And if the rock has been blown away, there's a tornado. Well, on Easter, a rock was rolled away from the tomb. And Easter puts a sign up in our lives that says, check the rock. Check the rock. A lot of you are here with all kinds of questions on your mind today that can be answered with, check the rock. Are you wondering what Easter is all about? Check the rock. Are you wondering how to be set free from your fears? Check the rock. Are you wondering how to be set free from your addictions? Check the rock. Are you wondering how to be free from the things that you are not in control of? Check the rock. Are you wondering how to be set free from your fear of death? Check the rock. Are you wondering how to be delivered from the sting of death? Check the rock. Are you wondering why Christianity is different from other religions? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Christianity is relevant to you today? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus is God? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus is who he says he is? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus truly conquered death? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus is still alive today? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus will speak to you still today? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus is coming again? Check the rock. Are you wondering if Jesus keeps his promises? Check the rock. Are you wondering why we love Jesus so much? Check the rock. Jesus rose again from the dead just like he said he would. Check the rock. The empty tomb confronts our fears. Let's listen to Jesus' words now. 8-10. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Those women ran away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. What does that mean? Afraid yet filled with joy. You're afraid but filled with joy. Here's what I think that means. That means anything is possible now. I'm afraid. I don't know what this all means, but oh my goodness, this is good. This is joyful. This is good. He's not there. He's not dead anymore. But there's still fear. Afraid yet filled with joy. Isn't how we walk through life? This is the kind of thing that anything is possible now. Easter means anything is possible now. Just think about how that's true in our lives. Think what that means for our lives. as we go out these doors later today, as we celebrate Easter, as we go back to the normal schedule of our lives and the regular routine, the message of Easter means that anything is possible now. If we have a Lord who came and died for us to pay the price for all of our sins, and then 3 days later walks out of that tomb alive, just like he said he would, exactly as he promised. Friends, that means anything is possible in our lives. You have a list of things that you feel are impossible. They're in your head right now. You're thinking about them. You've been beaten and battered and just run into wall after wall after wall because you think that all these things are impossible. Easter means that anything is possible. If this happened, anything can happen. That's the kind of God we have. Easter means that anything is possible. Jesus said greetings to them. The actual word in Greek is kaira, rejoice. Rejoice. Easter means that we have much to rejoice about. In the next phrase, Jesus calls them his brothers. He calls his disciples his brothers. Do you remember what they did 3 nights ago? They all deserted him and fled. They all abandoned him. No doubt they were feeling a little bit guilty on Sunday morning. I mean, don't we feel guilty when we abandon him? But Jesus calls them brothers. Easter means that we are once again Jesus' brothers and sisters. Why? Because he's forgiven us. His resurrection, his walking out of that tomb alive, proves, my friends, that your sins are forgiven. And finally, it is forgiveness that lets us know we don't have to be afraid. It is forgiveness that gives us reason to not fear. You are forgiven. Easter is proof of that. And that's why we don't need to be afraid. Easter means we're Jesus' brothers and sisters. So then, Jesus speaks his famous first words of Easter, "Do not be afraid." He spoke those words in the present tense. In other words, do not be afraid continually. Keep on not being afraid. You don't ever have to be afraid again. From here on out, keep not being afraid. Continually not be afraid. Every moment of your day, don't be afraid. Every day of your life, don't be afraid. Every month, every year, we don't have to be afraid ever again. And these are the words that Jesus spoke more than any other words he ever spoke. This is the phrase that is written more than any other times in the Bible, 366 times. Yes, one for every day of the year. Our God just loves those kind of things. Do not be afraid is the message of Easter. And why? Why do we not need to be afraid? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Easter means, here's our third point, Easter means never being afraid again. Easter means never being afraid again. A young mother and her baby escaped on the last train out of Poland in World War II. The train got attacked a few times along the way, so the trip ended up taking days. And they ran out of all food and water. And by the time they arrived at the destination, that little baby was starving and very ill. So, to the mother's relief, some nuns offered to take that baby to a hospital, a special hospital, to nurse him and nurture him back to health. And the mother thankfully agreed. But that night, that hospital was bombed and destroyed. That's the news that this young mother woke up to the next morning. So she rushed to the scene of the devastation, just searching for the body of her infant son. Death was everywhere. I mean, isn't that the scene that we had on Good Friday? Jesus was dead. His body was secured in a tomb. All seemed hopeless. So here's that woman surveying that scene, and somewhere in the middle of all of that, the piles of rock and the debris was the body of her son. He was dead and buried. There was no hope. And so she began asking hopeless questions. She began asking why. Yeah, she began asking, why, God? Why did my little boy or I deserve this? And then she began asking all the what ifs of life. What if we'd have left on an earlier train? What if I wouldn't have let him go to the hospital? What if? Life without Easter would offer the same sense of hopelessness to those looking for lost ones. So this desperate mother continued digging through rubble and debris, hoping to find the body of her son. But she wasn't the only one there. There were a lot of other people doing the same thing. There was a lot of crying. Death had taken the lives of many. And there was no hope in the whole scene. There was no hope among those sorrowful parents. All seemed hopeless. There was just death and despair. Then she heard a cry. Could it be? And she ran over to the place where she heard the cry, and this mother rolled away a stone, and there in an air pocket underneath the rubble was her son, alive. He's alive, she shouted. And she picked him up out of his tomb and lifted him up and held him up and hugged him tightly. And she was just filled with incredible relief and joy. And all those other questions, all those other hopeless questions she had been asking, all those what ifs, no longer mattered anymore because her son was alive. Same is true for us. All those hopeless questions we ask, all those what ifs in life, none of them matter anymore because Jesus is alive. Easter means never being afraid again. Today is our third point. Easter means never being afraid again. Today, many people, the world is filled with people. Many people are afraid. They're living life afraid. Today, so many people are just afraid and they are unwilling to trust in anyone or anything. You are afraid. You are afraid of what tomorrow will hold. You are afraid of the things that you are not in control of, the things you can't see. You get so caught up in what you think and what others think about you that sometimes life loses all its joy, right? You can get so consumed by the material world that when the stock market crashes or when unemployment soars or when the economy goes down or your health goes south, you crash along with it. But here's what Easter means for you. You have a life. You have a life that is not dependent on the stock market or economics or unemployment or your health. Life is worth living because Jesus is alive, and because he has given you abundant life. The message of Easter is not that there is no death. It's not that you won't face death. The message of Easter is that there is life after death. It's that there is life even though there's death, that there's life in death. And so even though you are not in control, even though you and I are not in control in any way, shape, or form, we can respond with trust instead of fear. Easter means never being afraid. A little girl walked through a cemetery every day on her way home from school. And someone asked her if she was afraid to walk through the cemetery. And she responded by saying, "Nope. I simply cross it to go home." Isn't that what the resurrection of Jesus has done to death? Because Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus' resurrection has turned death into a harmless pathway to our home. as Jesus was raised from the dead, there is a resurrection awaiting for all of us. There is a resurrection waiting for all people. And those who trust in Christ, those who trust in Christ will be raised from the dead to live with him forever. So friends, trust. Trust in the one who defeated death. Trust in the one who died but walked out of that tomb alive. Trust in the one who died and walked out of that tomb alive and told you that you don't have to anything to be afraid of. Friends, that's your Lord and Savior. That's the one who loves you. So live lives of trust instead of fear. My prayer for you today is that you would be comforted with Jesus' famous first words of Easter. Do not be afraid. Amen. And that peace of God which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.